Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. All right, now this proverb is very, very important for you, particularly if you are feeling discouraged, faint, or overwhelmed by some difficulty or some ailment. The verse says this, Proverbs 18, 14, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" Let's read it again. "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" Now, there are two types of spirits in this text. The first spirit is the type that will sustain a man's infirmity. Now, infirmity generally has to do with sickness, ailment, disease, that kind of thing. But there are other things that can make a man infirm. It could be that there's a difficulty in his life, a necessity or something. All right, so the first type of spirit is the type that will sustain a man's infirmity. And then the other type is a wounded spirit. And this particular spirit is unbearable. Who can bear? Who can bear, the Bible says. Now, sometimes in Bible reading, we have a habit of jumping around. For instance, if you have a Bible reading calendar or you have a one-year type Bible, sometimes the way those calendars run, you read a little of the Old Testament and a little of the New Testament and a proverb and some of the Psalms every day. And the way it works out, you end up going through the Old Testament once, the New Testament maybe twice, Proverbs 12 times, Psalms maybe 4 times, something like that. Depends on the calendar. But the idea is that you're reading a proverb every day, and since there's 31 of those, and generally in a month you'll have, 30 days or 28 or 9 days, depending on about February, and then 31 in some months, you're basically going to go through all the proverbs every month, and that's really a good thing. Well, early on in my Bible reading, after I got into the ministry full time, that is, I've already graduated from the seminary and I'd gone into preaching, there was a fellow that started coming to our church, and I was reading through the Proverbs daily. And so I came across this Proverbs 18, 14, every month on the 18th day of the month. And this fellow started coming to church with his wife, and he was an older gentleman. He was already up in his late 80s when he started coming to church. And I'm telling you, the guy had the most upbeat attitude of about anybody I'd ever seen. I mean, just amazing. And he had been to the doctor on a number of occasions to deal with various problems, that you have that accompany advanced years in your life. And every time he went to the doctor and came back, he always had this attitude about, "I'm just going to keep on going." What he had was a spirit that would sustain his infirmity. And so when I met him and we started talking about these matters, I immediately associated this verse of scripture with him. And every time I read Proverbs 18, 14, the very first thing and the very first person that ever comes to my mind is that fella. I see him right there in front of my face as if he were standing in the room right now. He's an amazing guy. Well, he had a tremendous spirit, and he just didn't let physical ailments get him down. Now, when he did finally pass away, it was a very sudden thing, and he didn't have a slow, debilitating demise. It was a very sudden thing. And by that time, I think he was already up in his young 90s. In any case, tremendous, tremendous testimony to me personally, and that is, don't let these things get you down, you see. Don't let those kinds of physical ailments and types of infirmities that he faced and the types of aches and pains that go with that drag you down. I mean, just get out of there and go hit it again. tremendous thing. It really did. It sustained his infirmity. He spent very little time in the hospital if he ever had to face that kind of thing. Very little time on his back with a cold. He used to pop up pretty fast. Now, understand, he had a great constitution, but he also had a tremendous attitude. All right, another good example of this, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Lance Armstrong. Here this guy faces cancer, and I mean, he decides, I'm going to fight that thing, I'm going to whip it, and he subjected himself to the various kinds of therapies that you have to go to in order to deal with cancer in your body. And he said, I beat it. You know, a Christian wouldn't talk that way necessarily, but he had this idea, I'm going to face this thing. He said, I beat it. And then he made that comeback from cancer and went off to the Tour de France and won it all those times. A tremendous thing. You say, how in the world did God do that? Had that kind of spirit right there that sustained his infirmity. I didn't follow all of this very much, except that I do remember a fellow telling me that on one occasion when Lance Armstrong was coming back, he was riding with his teammates, and they were riding slow, but making it look like they were really riding hard in order to give him the idea that he was really improving rapidly in his speed until somebody passed them in a vehicle, and then he realized the vehicle was not going very fast at all, and therefore they weren't going very fast at all, and then he was kind of like, oh, no. But they did that to encourage him instead of to discourage him. Years ago, I had a friend of mine in a small town that literally had every body part that could be replaced. I think he had a heart valve. I think he had some sort of an organ transplant. He had knees done, shoulders done, other things done. It was just amazing. Every time I saw that guy at his house, would go by and visit with him from time to time, he always had a very upbeat spirit. Why? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Right now, I've got a real friend of mine who's facing the possibility of having to battle cancer again, and this is now multiple times. Visiting with her the other day, and she says, I'm going to fight this thing. That's very encouraging. It's not that type of spirit that says, I'm going to just succumb to this because I don't know what to do about it. It's, I'm going to get up, I'm going to put up a good fight, and I'm going to try to whoop it. Paul was that way. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And he wanted to get rid of it, but God had given it to him as a messenger from Satan to buffet him, to keep him from getting lifted up in pride because he had been given so many revelations from the Lord Jesus Christ that are now our New Testament church doctrine. And when Paul faced all of these problems, the Lord said, I'm not going to take the thorn out of there. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul got to the place when God said, I'm going to give you grace instead of healing. Paul got to the place where he said, I glory in my infirmities. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like to be sick. I don't like to be sore. I don't like infirmities. I don't like necessities. I don't like distresses. I don't like reproaches. Paul said, bring them on. I glory in them. Well, that'll tell you that I'm certainly not the level of Christian that Paul was by any stretch of the imagination. But Paul had learned through that spirit that he had, that spirit of a man that sustained his infirmity, that he could tolerate the infirmity with the spirit of God and glory in that infirmity because of the grace of God. Now, man, you talk about a good spirit. That's the kind of spirit we as Christians need. You know, I've said it before. I'll say it again because it's just so vivid to me. But I've got several of Sam Jones' sermons, and I like to read them. He was just rapid fire like a machine gun, and he had some quippy statements. I'm telling you, they would cut you to the quick. And he said, there was never a reason for a Christian to have a frown on his face. He said, the devil can do more damage in the cause of Christ by putting a frown on the face of a Christian than he can by putting a case of whiskey on the steeple. Boy, that is a very, very accurate statement. When a Christian professes to be a Christian, goes to church, says that he's filled with the Spirit of God, says that he's in his Bible, walking around moping and sad and depressed and discouraged all the time, then that leads people to believe that whatever we have is not worth having. And so they turn it down. What has your God done for you that I can't already do for myself? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Jesus said when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. He had something to sustain his infirmity. He said, look, I don't want to go up there and bear the sins of all these people. He was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, and he said, I don't want this cup. But, he said, not my will, but thine be done. And it sustained him through the beatings, through the lies, through the false witnesses, through the stripping and the reclothing with the robes, and through the blindfolding, and through the mockery and all that other stuff, and then through the crucifixion itself. Through all of that, Jesus Christ was sustained. He didn't complain. He didn't gripe. He didn't say, you know, why are you doing this to me? He did say, why, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But those are the words of a dying man in his last moments, having had God the Father turn his back on him, essentially, because he's now got all the sins of the world on him. Sad case. Sad situation. But it sustained his infirmity. He got through it, see? Went all the way, despite the fact that he was under all that pressure from the people, and the devil himself had shown up, according to Isaiah chapter 50. And the Lord just, he said, okay, I've got my resolve, I'm going to do it. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, and it ceased, it sustained him. I mean, it sustained him well. All right, so you got that kind of spirit. Then you got this other kind. There are those that have the wounded spirit that can't hold up under much of anything, because the least little sign of turning against them, and they're just crater. They just cave in. They just don't have the strength to stand up. I know a person, and this person has, you know, has had to deal with medical problems, and it's a sad situation. It really is. But there's not much fight in this person. Easily discouraged. Thoughts of suicide, and just, you know, wanting to check out, and never well, get a little better and then go back down again. Just never snapping out of it. And you know something? A lot of the problem is spiritual. In other words, a wounded spirit, who can bear? There's a wounded spirit there. Something troubling from childhood, I suppose. And so consequently, where there should be a spirit in there to sustain the infirmity and get this person back up on their feet where they can go for God, down. All the time down, all the time discouraged, all the time just in and out of problems with the health. And now I recognize that there are some people who have continual health problems, and those things can be discouraging. But I'm, without going into more detail, this person doesn't face necessarily the level of problem that you have faced in your life. It's just this thing just stays down all the time because the spirit's down. Another fellow that I know of, very well acquainted with this person, went to visit him in the hospital, and he had just received the news that he had cancer. But it was small and it was treatable. 5 days later, I got a telephone call. He was dead. 5 days after learning that he had cancer, he died. You say, why? Was the cancer spread that badly? Not really. The spirit was wounded. Couldn't bear him up. He got discouraged about having to go through radiation and chemotherapy and surgery and other kinds of treatment. Didn't want to face it. And so just basically checked out of the battle and said, I'm not going to fight this. You know, in combat, troops need morale. And so consequently, they're constantly being encouraged by their commanding officers. And they're constantly being challenged to endure the hardships. And so in combat, it's very, very important for the leaders, the platoon leaders, company leaders, battalion leaders, and so forth, regiment command, to really, really keep these soldiers pumped up, because what they're doing is they're facing the enemy. And it's easy at times to ask yourself the question, why are we doing this anyway? My best buddy has been shot to death on this side. My next best buddy has been wounded on this side and taken back home. Here I am now fighting with people I'm not as well acquainted with as these best buddies that I had. Why am I here in the first place? I ought to be home with my wife, my children. You see, that stuff starts working on the mind. And so consequently, they've got to be trained to fight despite these things by having a spirit, see, that will sustain his infirmity instead of a wounded spirit that won't bear up under the trouble. Now, I'll tell you something that I don't like concerning the combat troops. All of us in this country has some opinion about the war in Iraq, as an example. All right, your opinion may be none at all, but that's an opinion. Or your opinion might be, hey, we need to go in there. We need to fix this situation. We need to do it right, and then we need to leave. Your opinion may be we should have never gone in there in the first place. We're wasting our time to stay there now. You know, there are a variety of opinions. But let me tell you something. In any war, in any conflict, there are always going to be these kinds of opinions. We shouldn't be there. We ought to be there. You know, we're spending too much money, whatever the case may be. But I'm going to tell you something. With our news media in this country constantly feeding negative information to the troops and the families of the troops back home, they are acting more like enemy propaganda designed to demoralize our own troops than they are those reporting the facts. Because there are facts communicated back to us about things that are taking place over there that are not as dismal and desolate as the stuff that's being reported ordinarily by the news media. In other words, be that as it may, because I'm not telling you which side of the deal I'm on, I'm just telling you, if those troops who are there and their families who are back here need strong morale, a constant barrage of negative information is going to destroy that morale. And if that destroys that morale, regardless of whether we were supposed to be there or not, that thing is going to be a failure, if it isn't already. Because you're not going to be able to fight the way you're supposed to fight if you don't have any morale, and you're not going to be on your knees praying for the troops the way you ought to be praying for the troops if you lost your morale. I mean, really, the enemy could not have done a better job of propagandizing the negative side of this war than our own news media has done. They always want to disseminate bad information to the enemy in order to demoralize the troops. Our own people are doing it for us. It's a terrible situation. Terrible situation. In the Bible, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the martyrs are encouraged that they're going to have to be tried for 10 days in prison. And you know the trial is going to be to get them to recant, to do like Paul used to make the Christians do, and cause them to blaspheme. And the Lord said, just hang on to that thing for 10 days, and then you'll die like your brethren did. And the way they die is by decapitation. It's a brutal thing. But God said, I'll give you a crown of life. He had to keep the morale up in face, even though they were facing certain death and martyrdom. It's terrible. But the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. And if the man's got the right spirit about that thing, he can stay encouraged in spite of the negative thing happening to him. I was just this last weekend visiting with a young man who spent the summer selling books for, I think the name of the company is Southwestern, something like that, where they go around from various communities and they got to knock on doors. He said, I knocked on so many doors that summer, literally my knuckles had calloused over. And he said, weekly we had meetings with the other college students that were out selling books and so forth. And he said, constantly, we were getting phone calls, we were getting various messages of encouragement from our leaders and from our, whatever you call them, managers. He's every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, my manager would call me and get me pumped up and get me ready for the day. Why? Because he knew that it would be easy for me to have a wounded spirit and become discouraged with the lack of production in a particular week and give up a wounded spirit who can bear. So what he did is he would pump my spirit up, because the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. And so he said, invariably, I could get charged up about what I had to do that day because somebody was giving me words of encouragement, and I would get through my day. He said, when I finished my summer, out of, I don't remember how many thousands of students participated in this, it was a large number. He said, I was 40th in the nation. Wow. How'd that happen? Well, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. David came back to Ziklag after attempting to fight with the Philistines against Saul, found the place all burned out, and his own men wanted to stone him. How did he do it? He encouraged himself in the Lord. And by encouraging himself in the Lord, his spirit was revived. It sustained his infirmity. They attacked the enemy and recaptured all of the spoil and all of their family members that had been taken out of Ziklag. There you go. You'll never win if you're down. If you go into a fight, you go into a battle, and you already have a wounded spirit, you're dead meat. You go in there with the thought that, hey, I got a spirit that will sustain me through this conflict, this battle, you'll come out on the other side. Harlan Popov survived 13 years of torturous imprisonment in Bulgaria and then traveled to the United States giving his testimony. I heard that testimony, I think, in 1970 in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was sitting there in a chapel service at the Macaulay School in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Harlan Popov was our speaker, and I tell you what, you talk about impressed. And he gave the testimony, you know, shoot me straight, all the torture that they put him through. And he survived it. 13 years later, he testified literally worldwide about Jesus Christ. Wow, what a tremendous thing. What got him through there? The spirit of man, the spirit that God had given him to sustain his infirmity. Adoniram Judson survived horrible confinement in Burma and real discouragement because he worked for 7 years on the field and had fruitless labor, nobody saved. First convert 7 years after he hit the field. It turns out after being confined in a little bitty prison and treated terribly, hung upside down, that kind of stuff, scarred. You know what he did? He ended up translating the scriptures into Burmese, and by the time he was finished with his work on that field, there were over 15,000 Christians in Burma due to his work. What happened? The spirit of a man sustained his infirmity. Never give up. Never give up. God has given you the Holy Spirit. You've got a spirit in you that will sustain your infirmity, and there's no reason for you to walk around with a wounded spirit that says, I give up. I quit. I'm done. I have friends of mine that have done that. They were in the ministry. Something went south and they got bitter. And they said, I quit. I'm done. I don't want this anymore. Don't do that. Don't do that. You get revived. Get a spirit that will sustain your infirmity. Now look, as it concerns the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to take a little different tact here. Because if you have a spirit that says, I'm not going to give up, and then a fellow comes and preaches the gospel to you and you've never been saved, you may hold to your good works and your self-righteousness and your moral being and miss Jesus Christ, and the next thing you know, you wind up in hell because you never trusted him as your Savior. In that case, what you need to do is you need to humble your spirit so that you don't fight against Jesus Christ and wind up in hell. You've got to give up there and realize that your self-righteousness will not get you to heaven. Your good works will not get you to heaven. Your efforts will not get you to heaven. Instead, what you've got to do is you've got to be able to yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give up on your self-righteousness and your morality and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to save you because you're a sinner in need of a Savior. We all are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right, and then after you get saved, then come out with the spirit of a soldier that says, now that I'm on the Lord's side, I am going to fight against the enemy until I die. Paul told Timothy, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and you'll have to do that because people say, oh, he got saved because he needed a crutch. That is a bunch of, it's just not right. That's a bunch of malarkey, man. There's no crutch to this thing. Love your enemy. There's nobody out there who's not saved that loves his enemy. That's a bunch of bunk. You endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He gives you the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girt about with the truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You've got the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and your knees are uncovered so you can pray, praying always in the Spirit. There's your armor, 7 pieces. 6 plus prayer. There's your armor. And that's so you can fight. And then God will give you the Holy Spirit of God, and you'll yield to him, if you will, and that spirit in you will sustain your infirmity so that if you get down in the battle, you can keep kicking. Like soldiers who have offered to surrender in battle and then take out some more of the enemy before they go, i.e., you're going to get me, I'm going to go ahead and make sure 2 or 3 of you go out with me. What is that? That's that fighting spirit. That fighting spirit, that spirit that will not give up. Listen, Paul the Apostle, who wrote the New Testament to us, the church, gave us our doctrine. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Can you say that? Have you fought a good fight? If you haven't been fighting a good fight, you need to start fighting one now. Have you finished your course? If you haven't finished your course, then you need to keep going. You say, well, I don't feel like going. I'm tired. Finish your course. get the spirit of a man that will sustain your infirmity and get away from the wounded spirit. You say, yeah, but you don't know how bad they hurt me. Do you know how bad they hurt your Savior? Do you know how badly they hurt Paul? Paul gave a testimony when he got to Rome. At my first answer, no man stood with me. All the sheep scattered from Jesus Christ. Hey, they know what it feels like to be left alone, to have to fight your own battles. And one of them wrote to you to console you, and the other one lives inside of you. So get the spirit of a man that will sustain your infirmity. And if you have a wounded spirit, which is unbearable, nobody else can bear it, and it doesn't help you to bear up anything, get away from it. Get away from it. Get encouraged. Fight the good fight. Finish the course. Keep the faith. So what do you intend to do with this message today, preacher? Three things. Number one, I intend by this message, through the prayers that we prayed before we ever preached it, that God would be glorified. And any time that word of God right there is preached in such a way that you can remember it, God's glorified. Second thing we intend to do is to address Christians that need to be edified. And if you're saved today and you've just kind of given up a little bit and you slacked off a little bit, get up, get going with God. Remember that the Spirit of God is in you and fight. And finish your course and keep the faith and run it out till the Lord comes back. I believe he's coming soon. I really do. So you just stay in the course. Don't give up. Fight it all the way out. All right. And then the third reason is to lead lost souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we said if concerning the gospel, you're hanging on to your morality and your self-righteousness and your good works, you better give up that fight. Because that's a losing proposition. You'll wind up in hell proclaiming those good works and that righteousness of yours to Jesus Christ, and he won't let you into heaven. The only way he's going to let you in is if you have his righteousness and if you have his spirit, you see, and if you have his works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Now, if we've accomplished those three things done today, then the Lord has answered our prayers. And listen, if you were down, we pray that you've been encouraged. I pray that, like that young fellow that was selling those books, pray the Lord will use this message to pump you up and tell you, if you'll just get up and get going again, God will give you the Spirit to make it one more day in this battle on this side of glory.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.